This is VSiN Prime Time. Live from the Circus Sportsbook in downtown Las Vegas on VSiN, the Sports Betting Network.
Raiders on the march, but Fernando Mendoza sacked at the 14-yard line. So it'll be second and goal now for the Raiders. 14-7, Arizona with the lead over the Las Vegas Raiders. Pittsburgh Steelers and Green Bay Packers right now. 7-6 is the score. Steelers with a one-point lead over the Packers as Kyle McCord makes a nice little play with pressure coming off of a corner blitz. So 7-6 there, and we'll see if the Raiders are able to get into the end zone momentarily. Matt, just about to get underway, the Tennessee Titans and the San Francisco 49ers. And this was a game that Chuck Edel came on, and he liked some Titans early, I believe, first quarter, first half as well for the Tennessee Titans in this one.
Yeah, Chuck did make a good case for that. And Chuck plays a lot of first quarter and first half stuff in the preseason. And it's obviously you got to wait to get those numbers.
Oh boy.
What are we watching here?
I'm watching Kyle McCord just throw one up, heave one down the field.
But Tennessee behind Cam Ward has Mitch Trubisky, Will Levis, and Hendon Hooker. A decent situation. Here we go, third and goal for the Raiders. And are we going to have a touchdown?
We're going to have a touchdown here.
Fernando Mendoza takes the snap at the 10. He fires across the middle. That's a bullet. That's a TD. And that is
Beck.
Jack Beck, is he becoming Mr. Third Down?
Man, he is he's Mr. Reliable here. So Jack Beck into the end zone, had a couple of third down catches already in this game, and he scores a touchdown. So I know it's not his first career touchdown because that would come in the regular season, but his first touchdown wearing a Raiders uniform, and it is to Jack Beck, Fernando Mendoza.
Throw by Mendoza on the quick slant here, and it's got to be perfect, and it is. Tight window, and he fits it right in there, and that's what you're looking for. Mendoza actually on first down took a sack. Raiders had first and goal at the 5, but when you watch the replay, he had no receivers open at all, and I can't blame Mendoza for taking that sack. He had nowhere to go with the ball. He makes up for it there with the TD pass, and we got a tie game. Another penalty, huh?
Fourth personal foul on the Pittsburgh Steelers tonight, Matt.
Yeah, that's what you get with a big Mike McCarthy team.
See if this is really roughing the passer.
Yeah, it's kind of a weak call.
That's a weak call.
I will say, back off that. Now, Mike McCarthy's teams are not the most disciplined, but two of these four personal foul calls.
I guess you can't, finish the tackle there?
On,
I don't know.
That's weak. That's weak.
It's Kyle McCord. Like, who are we protecting? Come on. If it's Patrick Mahomes, you'll get it. But
well, still, that's a weak call. I don't care if it's Mahomes. Well, Mahomes in the preseason is going to get that call. But again, Tim, two of those four personal foul calls were pretty weak. So,
I mean, at this point, just have LaFleur test Trey Smack's leg right here. Just let him kick it from midfield. See if he can hit a 60-yarder.
Yeah, I think it's pretty obvious. The Packers have found their kicker. you got to love that way that kid is kicking it tonight for Green Bay. Raiders, Cardinals. Tied at 14. Update the live line in this game. Cardinals are going to receive the kick here, so they are still favored 1.5. Total up to 51.5. And it's interesting here. The rest of the way, I think you're going to see Mendoza and Aiden O'Connell for the Raiders. And at some point here, I think Gardner Minshew is going to leave the game. Since Carson Beck is not playing tonight with a rib injury, you're going to have Keaton Slovis basically the entire second half for Arizona.
Quick update from San Francisco, Tennessee. Buck Rising, who covers the Tennessee Titans, put out on Twitter that the expectation for Tennessee, 15 to 20 plays for their starters. So we will see the starters for Tennessee, and that's why you've seen that number go up, and that's why Chuck Edel is on the Titans first quarter and full game against the San Francisco 49ers. Matt, if I'm the 49ers, I just wrap everyone in bubble wrap based off of their injuries right now. I don't play a single soul. I mean, based off of Kyle Shanahan's car accident, I don't even know if I want him coaching right now. So we'll see. Is that number, once again, 6.5-7 game about to get underway. You know, a couple of reports coming out, Matt, and I would say one of the dumbest controversies I've seen all year is this number situation where Jaden Daniels feels disrespected about what's going on down in LSU with them wearing number 5. So Very, very odd situation there. He's made a statement about it. But I did see a report, and it was actually more of a positive standpoint, was that he apparently lit up the Miami Dolphins defense today. So, you know, Jaden Daniels, yesterday we were talking about the left tackle for the Commanders, and Laremy Tunsil being out. Massive concern there. Mm-hmm. And now, Matt, you get this kind of bizarre situation, but this was the tweet I wanted to point to. It's only practice and only against the Dolphins, but Washington QB Jaden Daniels looks sharp. His throws are strong and on target downfield. He's shown off his same old mobility too. Good early signs from the Commanders. So take that for what you will there with the Commanders starting quarterback. But this situation down in LSU, I was texting with our buddy Jimmy Ott about it. I said, has everyone turned on Jaden Daniels? He goes, yep. So it's a weird one where a defensive back wanted to wear number 5, and they're like, yeah, sure, you can wear number 5.
Yeah, LSU's got a bit of a weird fan base, too. They got a weird head coach.
They got basketball and football. A lot of weird things going on down there.
How about that combination of Will Wade and Lane Kiffin? Jeez.
And if you want to add in Kim Mulkey, it's the holy trinity of hated coaches.
Man, how about that? Jaden Daniels, no bigger proponent of him coming out of LSU into the draft than I was. I've lost a little bit of faith in how great a player he's going to be at this level, because I wonder if injuries are always going to be a concern. He's got a Jeremiah Love with a nice run here for the Cardinals. I'm a little bit surprised he's still in the game here late in the second quarter, but the Cardinals are playing their starters extensively here tonight. Jaden Daniels, you got to wonder if injuries are going to bother him. Is he going to be like RG3, where he's going to have a bunch of injury problems throughout his career? He's got a slight frame. You know, he's not going to be able to take a lot of hits. Don't know how durable he's going to be.
He can read the field unlike RG3, though.
But he's got a ton of talent. He does. He's incredibly talented. Like you say, he can read the field. I love Jaden Daniels' ability to be a great quarterback. But when you see stories like this today where he's upset about LSU giving away number 5 or giving away to a highly touted recruit, don't be a prima donna. Look, just move on. You're an NFL star now. You're a quarterback. Why would you get upset about something like that? That bothers me about Jaden Daniels.
I agree.
And it caused me to lose a little bit of faith in him, too. He doesn't have his mind in the right place if he's upset about stuff like
that. Look, I lived through in D.C. the RG3 saga, and it was an absolute disaster.
That's a guy who didn't have his mind in the right place either.
2012, it was great. Everything was perfect. He gets injured, and then he and Shanahan are going head-to-head, and he doesn't like Kirk Cousins and all of that. I don't think we're headed there with Jaden Daniels. I'm hoping that the injuries are more of a freak situation. But, yeah, I saw this story today. I'm like, A, this is idiotic. What are we doing? And, B, it does make you worried a little bit, but we'll see with the Washington Commanders as they will play tomorrow against Miami. And they've been doing joint practices there in Washington. All right, let's update folks on where we're at with these preseason games, Matt. We've got Pittsburgh and Green Bay, 5 minutes to go in the third quarter. The Packers are driving right now. And for those like me who have some action on the Pittsburgh Steelers, I would thoroughly like a field goal for the Green Bay Packers on this particular drive. They have flipped to the favorites, minus $1.35. Cincinnati, a 7.5-point favorite, but did not cover that first half spread. The number sits at 10-6 in that contest, total down to 32.5. And we'll see, Matt. Looks like the Cardinals could be getting something here positive. By the way, Kyle McCord will throw this one away, and looks like we will get an opportunity for Trey Smack to kick his third field goal as a Green Bay Packer, as he has looked the part so far in this contest.
Cardinals now 2.5-point favorites, total of 51.5. I think we're at the 2-minute warning, right? That's why we have a break in the action. Every game now underway. Chargers have taken a 10-7 lead on the Texans, 3.5 minutes ago in the third quarter in Houston. Chargers 2.5 and a total 39.5.
All right, so still to come tonight, Matt, we mentioned it briefly, the Dodgers and the Brewers. We do have the Field of Dream game going on, by the way. Kick up and good. Trey Smack smacks it through, 9-7, 3-for-3, And this is a big takeaway for the Green Bay Packers, no doubt, as I was texting with a couple Packer friends, and they said, thank goodness we have a kicker.
Kickers are important,
Tim. It's been a nightmare for the past couple of years for the Green Bay Packers.
I mean, now the way the game has changed in the NFL, when you cross the midfield line, you are essentially in field goal range for a lot of these guys, and that's why you say using a draft pick and a kicker was probably a wise move for the Packers. Jeremiah Love hurdles a defender into Raiders territory, and I can tell you this, the Raiders defense is still going to be a problem.
You know, I'm curious, Matt, with Jeremiah Love playing tonight, with Fernando Mendoza playing tonight, will we see any movement in the market for offensive rookie of the year? As Jeremiah Love, I believe entering today, was the betting favorite at DraftKings. I don't know what the FanDuel price was, but you tend to see maybe slight overreactions. We saw one in the Hall of Fame game. Do you think we see any movement in the rookie of the year market based off of a couple of nice runs here from Jeremiah Love?
No, I don't think there's going to be much movement in the market.
There shouldn't be.
I mean, unless Love busts like a 45-yard touchdown run here before the half or something like that. He looks good, but that's what you expect.
Yeah.
I thought Mendoza had a outstanding touchdown pass in a tight window. Tied at 14, 1 minute to go in the first half in Vegas.
Matt, there was a quarterback decision made yesterday. The Minnesota Vikings decided to go with Kyler Murray as their starter. Not that big of a surprise, but was the timing a surprise? Our buddy Thor Nystrom from the Twin Cities joins us next.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Preseason week one underway, six games tonight. Drew Aller, his first career pass as a member of the Silver and Black. And could it be a touchdown?
Nope.
He's going to get caught from behind here. But a slant across the middle goes for, I don't know, about 70 right there. Steelers down to the 1 yard line. And we'll see if they can punch it in here. It's gonna look a little better in the box score, Matt. But still a nice throw on third down, a crossing route. Defender falls and off to the races.
Yeah, it's a nice throw, but it's about 10 yards in the air and 60 yards on the ground. Drew Aller did have a nice throw there, and the Steelers in position to take the lead back.
It was Caden Wettjen, the fourth round pick out of Iowa, who took that down to the
Iowa,
1 yard
obviously
line.
Known. I was a wide receiver factory, Tim.
He looked like Tim Dwight out there,
yep.
Matt, racing down the field. Well, I bet you a gentleman who knows a thing or two about Iowa wide receivers because he loves the NFL draft, but he also loves his beloved Minnesota Vikings. That's our buddy Thor Nystrom, who joins us right now at Thor KU. What was your grade on Caden Wettjen coming out of Iowa, Thor?
Good to join you boys first off, but Sam Monson and Steve Palazzolo, every year they send the draft guys. They want like your favorite guy in the draft class, not the best guy, but like your sort of favorite prospect. And I submitted it in March. Mine was Caden Wettjen from this past year. And Tim, as you know, I went to grad school at Iowa, so I watch every game. That guy is a spitting image of Tim Dwight, and the returning might even be a little bit better. Scott Docterman, the Athletic beat reporter for the Iowa football team, he comped him to Dante Hall. But yeah, it's just a bolt of electricity returner, so I'm excited to watch that guy's career.
Well, his first catch with the Pittsburgh Steelers, and a pretty nice run there. All right, Thor, we wanted to have you on because we wanted to talk about the quarterback situation. Then lo and behold, boom, they announce that Kyler Murray is going to be the starter. So it worked out perfectly. Your reaction, is this surprising? And what ultimately led to this early decision for Kevin O'Connell to go with Kyler Murray this early as the starter?
The only thing surprising about it was the timing. We all knew that the job was going to be given to Kyler. That was more or less decided when he signed. But it was the timing of it after they had depicted it as an open competition. The timing of it ended up coming off of Kyler's like three worst practices. And in particular, the worst of the summer was on Sunday night. The Vikings were off on Monday. Then the decision comes on Tuesday, and they're calling everyone in the media in for Kevin O'Connell to address them before that. And we obviously got the Schefter bomb and everything like that. So it was just the timing with the depiction of the open competition. Of course, no one thought that the competition was open. So I think at a certain point, you had to just give all of the snaps to one guy. And so that's what they ended up doing. And Kyler, to his credit, bounced back with arguably his two best practices of the summer in succession after they did that, sort of to that point.
You think the Kyler Murray gives the Vikings a better chance to win than J.J. McCarthy does at this point? Would you agree with the decision that he should be the starter?
I think, yeah, for this year, I can understand the argument of the raised floor for this season. It's obviously a coaching staff that feels a little bit of hot seat there, right? 4 years of Kevin O'Connell, no playoff wins. I think there's only been two coaches the last 30 years in the NFL that have come back for a sixth season with no playoff wins their first five. So there's obviously a lot of pressure for the Vikings, not only to get into the playoffs, but get Kevin O'Connell his first win. The thing I was watching for in practice was the fit of Kyler Murray in Kevin O'Connell's traditional offense is not clean, right? Like there's a lot of under center stuff. There's the deep drops, slow developing routes downfield, and then leveraging a lot of downfield throws. That is not Kyler Murray's game. You know, Kyler, it's always been in shotgun, spread the field. We've seen a lot of stuff in recent years with Arizona of a lot of the quick timing type stuff. I thought it was interesting when they're practicing out there, a lot more shotgun for Kyler, and also pistol that the Vikings are adding into their offensive system this year. They're also adding in the wide zone run game. They brought in Frank Smith from the Dolphins, but they're making these modulations of the offense to build it around Kyler. The other thing I was watching for is there going to be any semblance of a quick game? This is something we were begging for last year to try to help out the young quarterback, get more of a quick game in there. But O'Connell, again, the pass game has always been leveraged downfield. In recent days here, just the past couple of days, the Vikings have begun working on a quick game for their passing attack. So those, again, more signs that the Vikings are going to build that offense around Kyler. So they're at least going to give it a shot to work.
You know, it's interesting. You kind of answered it there. I felt like when this announcement was made, based off some reports I read Sunday night, that McCarthy played better than Murray, I think, in a scrimmage or whatever that open practice was Sunday night.
The night practice, yeah.
Okay. Yep. Yeah, it seemed to me that this was predetermined the whole time, that Kevin O'Connell signed Kyler Murray because he was going to be his starting quarterback to open the season. Did you feel that way?
100%. Okay. Yeah, and there's obviously the weird timing with the firing of the general manager in late January, which usually doesn't happen. And then you have this very unique situation in the NFL where you have a top 20 starting quarterback that wants to play for you. Right. Like, I mean, that was the thing with Kyler right from the get me to the Vikings. So just a very unique thing, both that circumstance, but then also this coach who is on the hot seat. And we'll just see what ends up happening with McCarthy sort of through this thing. But at least as far as just 2026, I do understand in the short term, the decision.
Thor Nystrom, our buddy at Thor KU. You can check him out on Score North at Thor KU. He'll point you in the right direction. NFL draft analyst, also great with player props, fantasy, and I want to jump into one that jumps out to you. It kind of puts your two loves together, player props and the NFL draft. So Arvell Reese, what are you expecting from Arvell Reese? How much production should we see from him in year one?
I think Arvell Reese is a solid player, but when I was looking over the prop market, one of the positions that I have this offseason is Arvell Reese under 4.5 sacks. I love that bet. Arvell Reese, he only had, I believe it was 7 sacks over 30 games in 2 seasons at Ohio State. 6.5 of those came last year. I went through his tape actually to count them up because, you know, you're trying to sort of remember them in your head. When I went through and hand counted, I actually only counted 5.5 sacks. I would have given him a half of a sack on a couple of those. And multiple of the sacks were when he was spying the quarterback and then the quarterback starts going towards the line of scrimmage and Arvell closed out on him really quick. he got edge work last year with Ohio State, obviously edge off-ball linebacker. The Giants, though, it's going to be off-ball linebacker, right? The Giants, they're stacked there at the edge rusher position. It would take an enormous fluke for Arvell Reese with the game that he plays and where he is going to be deployed to get to five sacks. So that is one of my favorite NFL props here of the offseason. I could even go through the 5.5 sacks for you. I hand wrote them all up. But again, that was the only time in the career that we've seen the sacks from Arvell Reese, and several of those were flukes. So I go under on that 4.5.
I like that. Good analysis there. Nice work on the tape. And that's how you want to break down a prop play. Hey, we're watching the Packers in action tonight. Looks like they found their kicker. We're watching the Lions. And we're going to see the Bears this weekend. Caleb Williams is not going to start for the Bears against the Browns. You know, we started talking about the Vikings. What do you make of the rest of the NFC North at this point?
The Bears are a team that I'm fading, and I'm curious to hear where you guys are at on this, but at the 9.5 win total, I'm happy to go under that. There's a lot of sort of those regression indicators that are flashing on the Bears. They're going to be playing a much harder schedule. You guys know how they did the comeback wins at the end, the one possession record, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of those recession indicators, and then it's a roster that lost DJ Moore, Drew Dahlman, Kevin Byard. They had a safety go down. Obviously it's going to be out 10 weeks or so, Bryant. So you just have a lot of that sort of stuff. And with the schedule getting a lot harder, that's one of the teams from that division that I'm fading. The Lions, I would love to fade the Lions, especially at the bloated win total that they had, but their schedule is so easy that one more or less became a stay away for me personally.
All right, before we let you run, let's do one more under. How about the defending AFC champion New England Patriots?
Yeah, this is another one where those recession indicators are just sort of, jumping off the screen here. You go from one of the easiest schedules in the NFL last year, which New England, they went 12-1 against non-playoff teams. They went 2-2 against playoff teams to get to 14-3. Now they're going to be playing a top 10 hardest schedule. And depending on the metrics that you're looking at, potentially top five. At the beginning of that schedule, it's really, really difficult. They have a gauntlet there in the first month of the season. And if you don't come out firing during that gauntlet, if you start out struggling, you guys know the chatter around that team and Mike Vrabel and the Dino Rossini and everything like that. New England is another team that last year, a big part of that record, again, against a terrible schedule, was built on these one possession wins. They went 7-3 last year in one possession games. There was two games where they went ahead in the final 2 minutes, et cetera. Plus last year, they were the healthiest roster in the league. And that's typically something where you're going to regress to the mean the next year. So just a lot of indications there that New England is going to regress. And that is sort of where I'm putting my money with that one.
Thor Nystrom at ThorKU. Check out his great work. Follow him on social media. Thor, appreciate it, brother.
Always awesome talking to you guys. Thank you.
There he is, Thor Nystrom. Let's update you on some preseason action. We got a couple of touchdowns to tell you about.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Alongside Matt Humans, I'm Tim Murray. Fourth quarter underway in Pittsburgh, 14-9. Matt, Drew Aller, not known as the most fleet of foot guy, and takes an RPO into the end zone. So his first touchdown as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers, I know, doesn't really count, but it is a rushing touchdown. And right now the Steelers have the ball back. They are up 14-9 early in the fourth quarter. Live number in that one currently sits at Steelers -4.5, -395 on the money line, total 30.5. Halftime, Matt, a entertaining game between the Raiders and the Cardinals. Live total up to 55.5, 21-14 in Las Vegas tonight.
Well, we talked about it early after the first two drives. It looked like we were going to head up for a shootout in Las Vegas. Nothing has changed. I got to tell you, the Arizona defense was worse in the league the final 10 weeks last year. This Raiders defense stinks too. And there was a situation there where it was third and about 7. And the way the Cardinals were set up offensively, you could tell Gardner Minshew was going to throw a quick slant to the receiver at the top. The Raiders failed to recognize that and give the Cardinals an easy first down on a quick slant. I don't know if this defensive coordinator has his head up his butt or what. They got a new defensive coordinator, or they just don't have the talent. But the Raiders' defense looks really, really bad tonight.
Mike Washington for Las Vegas, the fourth-round pick out of Arkansas, had an explosive 53-yard run.
That's been the most positive thing. Fernando Mendoza's TD pass, Kirk Cousins' first drive, and how about that run by Washington?
Wow. Yeah, that was the former Arkansas running back. Very explosive. Jeremiah Love had a couple of very nice touches. Matt, he had 11 carries for 58 yards, a long of 15, 14 touches so far this evening. I would imagine his evening done. Jeremiah Love, 14 touches for 73 yards. I don't know if he's – actually, I would not bet him, obviously, to win Rookie of the Year. I think he'll have more success, Matt, than Ashton Jeanty. I think you and I both have Jeremiah Love as a better prospect than an Ashton Jeanty, but I think it's going to be pretty tough at times for Jeremiah Love to get it going against that brutal schedule for the Arizona Cardinals. And it's hard for me to envision him winning the Rookie of the Year, especially at the price, though. It's at four
well,
or five
he's also
to
got
one.
Another back, Tyler Allgeier, yeah, in the backfield, who's going to get some carries as well. Jeremiah Love, to me, is clearly a more talented back than Ashton Jeanty. And I don't dislike Jeanty, but a lot of the yards he picked up in college were after contact when he was breaking tackles against Mountain West defenses. You're not going to do that much that in the NFL. He's a small back. He's not going to be able to break tackles in the NFL like he did in the Mountain West. And Jeremiah Love's just one of those next-level athletes, you know, like a Christian McCaffrey type of guy or Bijan Robinson type of guy, who could be an elite running back in the NFL. I don't feel that way about Jeanty. And, in fact, I think Washington might be a more talented running back.
Cool story here, Matt. Eli Heidenreich, the former Navy midshipman, mm-hmm, and from the Pittsburgh area. They're showing some of his highlights right now from Mount Lebanon in the Pittsburgh area, making his Steelers debut. He was, I believe, a seventh-round pick by the Pittsburgh Steelers, so he gets a carry early in the fourth quarter, so cool to see there. A couple of midshipmen in the NFL from last year's team that won 11 games a year ago, did Navy. So we will see if he was able to make the final 53-man roster. Drew Aller in for the action right now for the Pittsburgh Steelers. And, you know, Matt, we'll see how this game plays out, but the reason I liked the Steelers tonight was how long would the starters play? Our answer, one series for the Green Bay Packers. Tyrod Taylor, I think, played two series. And since then, it's been Kyle McCord, who hasn't been bad. And then you've got a backup quarterback competition going on right now in Pittsburgh. Aaron Rodgers didn't play, but Mason Rudolph played well tonight. Will Howard played well tonight. And now Drew Aller making his debut. And
I'll tell you what,
with these vanilla defenses, he's having his way right now.
He's putting the ball right on the money, too. That's the thing about Aller, is I think he's looked really good so far. But again, it is against backup. You're playing against second, third, and fourth stringers on defense. But look at his throws. His throws have been right on target so far, especially that throw right there. So I think Steelers have to be encouraged by the way he's played here. And also, their young receivers have looked pretty good.
Matt, just a reminder to the folks out there, if you didn't know by now, our VSiN College Football Betting Guide is out. It's available, 345 pages. Matt wrote up the Pac-12 as well as put together his top 50 college football teams in collaboration with Paul Stone. We had JVT writing up the SEC, Wes Reynolds, the Big Ten, the ACC from Adam Burke. Zachary Cohen wrote up the Big 12, plenty of best bets. And if you want to hear more about Matt's best bets, as well as his preview of the Pac-12 and his top 10, he joined me today on the latest episode of the VSiN College Football Betting Podcast. And also a reminder, Matt, 2 weeks from today, we'll be out in Hawaii getting ready for week 0.
Oh, is that right? I forgot about that.
Less than 2 weeks. Wednesday, August 26th, me and Matt will be live from Honolulu after taking in some Hawaii practice, getting some takeaways there. But that show is not going to be exclusively about Hawaii. It's going to be a season preview show out there in Hawaii, Matt, right before week 0 kicks off. 8 games between FBS teams in week 0. A couple of interesting ones, no doubt, including Stanford, Hawaii, and one right here in UNLV, Memphis. So make sure you check that out. Thanks to our friends over at Rainbow Authentics for sponsoring the trip. Inside the red zone now are the Pittsburgh Steelers, Matt, 14-9, around 10 minutes to go, as Drew Aller looking pretty sharp once again here in his Pittsburgh Steeler debut. Third-round pick out of Penn State. Talk about a disappointing final season, but you know, right now trying to atone for it, if you will, as a member of the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Well, the one thing I always said in Drew Aller's defense is I don't think he got the best coaching at Penn State. He was he never really improved as a guy who was highly touted coming in, but sometimes the coaching staff can fail a young player like that. And that's what the Michigan coaching staff did with Bryce Underwood last year, right? He never got better. Well, now he's got a new coaching staff to work with. Kyle Whittingham in charge in Ann Arbor. The Raiders start the second half by kicking the ball out of bounds.
But it was Kansei Matsuzawa, the Tokyo Toe. Not a good, not what you want to do there if you are the Tokyo Toe, who we saw the start of the legend of the Tokyo Toe last year out in Honolulu. Not what you want to see from a
Well, he made his reputation by making clutch field goals, not by kicking off. And obviously there, that was a poor kickoff, and he's taking some heat from the special teams coach, and not what
maybe some nerves there in his first professional kick.
Cardinals open this drive at the 40-yard line, and I believe that quarterback is that Keaton Slovis?
I believe so, yeah. Gardner Minshew's not.
But Minshew's still in there.
That's still Minshew.
Minshew is still in the game, so Cardinals were really serious about playing their better guys for extensive amount of time tonight. And there's a Drew Aller pass into the end zone that's incomplete. But, yeah, maybe the Cardinals, that might have been a market overreaction, right, with the Raiders closing three-and-a-half-point favorites, thinking their quarterback situation was going to be the difference tonight. The Cardinals quarterbacks, Jacoby Brissett and Gardner Minshew, have actually looked really good against this Raiders defense so far.
I wonder what price Chuck Edel got on first quarter Tennessee, Matt, because they did do what he was hoping for. They were up 7-0 at the end of the first quarter. That is the score right now. The Titans starters were out there. Tony Pollard scored a touchdown. Cam Ward went 5 of 8. And the opening drive for the Tennessee Titans, 11 plays, 95 yards, and a touchdown. So exactly what Chuck had handicapped with the starters in there, and it is early second quarter now, 7-0, Tennessee with the lead.
Knight, who is the Cardinals' third-string running back, just rips off a 15-yard run over the off left tackle. This Raiders defense stinks. And
we get a touchdown in Pittsburgh, Matt, as
Drew Aller
connects with Caden Wiegen. And he had the big play on a bit of a busted coverage. Wiegen showed his speed going 74 yards, getting tripped up at around the 2-yard line. And the fourth round pick out of Iowa now gets a touchdown. And the Pittsburgh Steelers lead 20-9 with an extra point pending as Drew Aller rolled out. Hit Wiegen entering the end zone, and that's a touchdown. And a little rub route gives the Steelers a comfortable lead and makes me happy with 8:51 to go in the game.
Yeah, we got 30 total points in the game right now. The total closed 38.5 in Pittsburgh, and the live total up to 36.5. We'll see if the Packers put together a drive here. You would think they probably will. Down 21-9, they're going to put the ball in the air, and they got some urgency now, down 12 points with 8.5 minutes to go. Bengals take a 16-6 lead on the Lions. That was with 10 minutes to go in Cincinnati. Bengals now 9.5-point favorites live, total 28.5.
Got a big baseball game starting top of the hour. And let's get you updated on the Field of Dreams game. Kyle Schwarber has hit a couple of balls into the corn for the Philadelphia Phillies. Phillies lead 5-1 right now over the Minnesota Twins.
This is VSiN Primetime on VSiN, the sports betting network.
Welcome to the NFL moment for former Virginia Tech quarterback Kyren Drones. He rolls out to his left. He sees a giant human running his way and thinking, well, in the ACC, I might be able to outrun him. Not in the NFL. No. And he has thrown down at the 5-yard line. What was that, a loss of 15 on his first play from scrimmage? 21-9, Steelers lead the Green Bay Packers. Matt, we had a 2nd-and-20 conversion here for the Arizona. Oh, no.
Yeah, it was.
It still says 3rd down. That was the yellow line was wrong, I guess.
Not really sure. Yeah, the yellow line is wrong on the TV screen, but I don't want to say it over and over and over again, but the Raiders are clueless on defense. And this is a really poor performance. And we'll see if they can get a stop. I don't think they have a stop yet in this game, do they?
No, they do not. By the way, quick update from Dyersville, Iowa. We got a homer, another homer. And no, it wasn't Kyle Schwarber this time. And also, no, it wasn't the right fielder in Luke Keyshaw having it bounce off his glove over the fence. This was just your typical homer. Brandon Marsh deep to right field, and the Philadelphia Phillies now up their lead to 7-1. We had mentioned that a Canadian kid, when he was on, didn't have time to give out his play. We were talking NFL. We were talking a little CFL as well. He did like over 8.5 in this one, so one more run for him, and he would have that total cash. This total got as high as 13.5 or so. Felt like it was maybe a glitch in the system there at DraftKings, but right now, 7-1 the score, Philadelphia leading Minnesota at the Field of Dreams game in Dyersville, Iowa.
Matt, Cardinals make a 56-yard field goal. That was a low-line drive, but it gets over the crossbar. 10-point lead for the Cardinals early third quarter.
All right, let's update other preseason games going on. We'll do a little college football here in just a moment. By the way, Luke Altmaier's wearing 20. Just cut him strictly based off of that decision. Come on, man. 20? What are we doing? What are we doing? 16-6, Cincinnati leading the Detroit Lions. This number got up to 7. And
first of all, Barry Sanders wore number 20 for the Lions. Why the hell would you give that number to Luke Altmaier?
Unless my
are you sure he's wearing number 20?
ESPN.com has him as number 20. So let me double check that, because that would be out. I mean, Jaden Daniels, get out of my face. Barry Sanders, you have every right to be upset, especially if it was Luke Altmaier. Come on, what are we doing? No, it can't. I mean, I'm double checking the roster right now. Live update, what people want here. And no, he is not wearing 20. I don't. ESPN.com is a little off here. So, whew, that didn't make a ton of sense. Luke Altmaier's wearing 2.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you, ESPN.com. Good job by you, Matt, checking in real time. He is not wearing 20. That would be an abomination if he was wearing 20 and Barry Sanders' number was being besmirched.
Yeah, that would be wrong. That would be something that Barry Sanders would never say anything. He's too classy, but that would be definitely a move the Detroit organization would not allow to happen. Steelers up 21-9 on the Packers. Steelers got the ball back. They forced a punt. Abomination. That's a good word for the Raiders defense tonight.
It's good to have the sweats back, Matt. It is good to have the nightly sweats returning. Cam Ward, 5 of 8, 57 yards tonight for the Tennessee Titans. They have a touchdown run from Tony Pollard, and we will get this game on our TV once the Steelers-Packers game concludes. This will be the back end of the doubleheader on the NFL Network. So 6 games in total so far tonight. The Chargers, who went off as an underdog this evening, they are currently up 10-7 right now. The Chargers closed about a 1.5-point underdog, circa, I think, close pick between the Chargers and the Houston Texans. So Steelers went off 3, 2.5-point dog. Cincinnati closed 6 or 6.5 or 7, Matt. They're up 10. New England was a dog at home against Indianapolis, and right now Tommy DeVito, baby, is leading the way for the New England Patriots as they lead 13-7.
Yeah, it'd be nice if we could watch some of these other preseason games at the same time, but Tim, that's not the case.
No, it is not. So we have the Raiders game on, we have Green Bay and Pittsburgh, and we will get Tennessee and San Francisco when this game does come to a conclusion. Hey, Matt. Looking over our shoulder right now, we could see the numbers continuing to grow. $30 million in guaranteed prizes. Cash in this football season right here in Vegas with 3 Circa Sports contests. Entries starting at $1,000, with no rake. That means every dollar stays in the prize pool. Circa Million, 18 weeks, 128 ways to win. Circa Survivor, pick one winner each week. Last Man Standing wins. And Circa Grandissimo for the high rollers, $100,000 entry. Enter in Nevada. Play from anywhere. $30 million guaranteed. CircaSports.com. Matt, college football.
Fernando Mendoza, by the way, back on the field for the Raiders and completes his first pass here in the third quarter. All right, let's talk college football.
Yeah, let's talk a little college football while we can. And you and I recorded a podcast earlier today, and our good friend The Bear, Chris The Bear Felica, also had a new podcast out where he had on longtime college football analyst David Pollack on his program, and he did not have the Ohio State Buckeyes in the college football playoff. We need to hear from the former Georgia Bulldog on why.
When I started my list of who was making the playoff, I feel confident these six teams are in. And that was Notre Dame, Miami, Oregon, Indiana, Texas Tech, and UGA. I think it's a little bit of a surprise because I left Ohio State off that list because, man, that's the worst schedule they've ever had in the history of their school. And you're talking about replacing number two, number seven, number 11 in the draft, like on the defensive side of the ball. So surely there's a step back. So I felt really good about those teams making it.
That's interesting. He has no Ohio State, no Texas, and obviously the Buckeyes and Longhorns both have extremely difficult schedules.
Yeah, you look at those two teams, Ohio State win total sitting at 9.5. They play each other, Texas and Ohio State do this year. Also, Ohio State has to go to Indiana, host Oregon, has to go to Iowa, and of course they wrap up the regular season like they always do, Matt. Against Michigan, they also visit USC, a game that you will be in attendance at. So before we dive a little bit more into that, quick update from the Raiders game. 24-14 remains the score, and not a great drive there. Fernando Mendoza was feeling the pressure on that particular drive.
Yeah, he off target a little bit on that second down pass and then third down under pressure and had to throw the ball away. Pretty ragged performance from the Raiders, especially on the defensive side of the football. We'll see if they can finally get a stop here down 24-14 in the third quarter. I got to think that's we're not going to see much more of Mendoza, but I think he's going to get at least one more series. You don't want to end the night on a three and out like that, so I think we'll see him one more, at least here in the third quarter. And I got to think that the Cardinals are probably going to go with Keaton Slovis at this point.
Yeah, you would imagine so. Last time out, it was still Gardner Minshew. They were able to kick a field goal. Matt, the Big Ten this year, you've got three heavy hitters with Indiana, Ohio State, and Oregon. The over-under, we discussed it last time we were on the air Tuesday night with Matt Grill of DraftKings Sportsbook. The over-under's 3.5 playoff teams for the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. Do you envision a fourth team making it to the college football playoff out of the Big Ten? And do you think those three up top are, I don't want to say locks, but are going to be in at the end of the day?
Yeah, you can never say lock because a quarterback injury could change a lot for those teams. But right now you've got at DraftKings to make the college football playoff, Ohio State minus 360, Indiana minus 350 and Oregon minus 320.
Indiana moved to 350. Oh, yeah. Wow, that moved a full dollar.
Yeah, I think Circa's got 310 right now, if you still wanted to bet that. But you're going to have to lay $3 on Indiana to make the playoff.
That was 250 last Saturday.
Yeah, the other teams out of the Big Ten would be USC, Michigan, Penn State, Washington. I don't know. Which of those teams would you have the most confidence in?
Confidence? I mean,
USC, Michigan, Penn State. Wisconsin.
So USC USC plays Oregon at Penn State, at Wisconsin, Ohio State at home, and they also finish up against and at Indiana, and they finish up in the Rose Bowl against UCLA. Mm-hmm. 9-3 best in USC, in my opinion. Looking at that schedule, I think more likely 8-4. There was also another market, Matt. Notre Dame minus 2.5 wins versus USC.
Well, Notre Dame's got a much easier schedule.
I know.
Have you heard that?
I've heard that from a couple people, that they have a manageable schedule. I guess if I had to pick one, and we could talk about this on the other side of the break, Penn State's schedule. I don't know if you hear Penn State's got a favorable schedule.
I have heard that. I have heard that. A couple people have mentioned that.
Could you make a case for Washington? We'll dive into this. We'll also get you updated on the preseason action that is going on, as well as Dodgers, Brewers. That game coming up just after 10 o'clock Eastern. It is VSiN Primetime.